In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Today we have a lot to celebrate. We have the feast of John the Baptist, and as you can tell, today's readings are supposed to be Sunday. And Sunday readings, they're usually not focusing on the saints, they're usually focusing on Christ Himself. Somehow today, the readings were about John the Baptist. And of course, with that, we have a very important feast that we celebrated yesterday, which is the Feast of Nowruz. And Feast of Nowruz is the beginning of Coptic year, which is the year of the martyrs or the calendar of the martyrs. So we celebrate all the martyrs and we celebrate their lives and we celebrate their victory. That's why we put all their icons here and we had a great celebration last Friday. So two special things today. Feast of John the Baptist, whom Christ Himself said something amazing about him. He said there isn't a greater prophet than John the Baptist. And that's a big, huge witness when the Lord says that. Remember, there were great prophets. Remember that the biggest prophet that people almost worship, Moses, who split the Red Sea, who saw God, and who's like his face was shining, glorious Moses. About Elijah, who was taken to heaven. About Elisha, who did more miracles than anyone else. But he said John the Baptist was the greatest amongst the prophets. And we'll find out why today and what we're going to learn from this. At the same time, it is the Feast of Nowruz. And as you know that these martyrs, we say, as the church says, that the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. That's the seed of the church, their blood. They kept the church and its faith through their blood and through suffering for the sake of Christ. So there is a theme for the readings today, and there is a theme for all what we're celebrating. We'll try to find it out in the life of St. John the Baptist and the life of the saints. Remember that John the Baptist didn't do a single miracle. Actually, it was said about him that he didn't do even one miracle, but he was great. He didn't preach any sermons. We didn't have a lot of things that John the Baptist said. He had only one sentence he repeated over and over. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at heaven. And he didn't have ministry. He didn't have a specific ministry. He wasn't a priest. He wasn't a high priest. Why was he great? Why did the Lord say that he's a great person? What did he do? Because obviously, if God is pointing to him, then he's telling us, look at this man and try as much as you can to be like him. What did he do? If you look at his life, you could summarize his life in one word. That he was a truthful person. Or let's use an easy term. Let's say he was a faithful person. God gave him something to do, a message. He delivered the message as is. Okay, how about he saw like big people? He saw the leaders, the scribes and Pharisees. These people were leaders and older than his father and people who were very, very respected by all. He did the same thing. He didn't differentiate between both of them. He wasn't afraid of them. He wasn't scared. He didn't say, well, I don't think I should preach those people. He was younger than all of them. He was 30 years old, and he was screaming at them the message that God gave him, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. John the Baptist was so righteous that he made a friendship with Herod the king. So they became friends. Great prophet and a king. Great. He's going to save him. He's going to help him. He's going to get closer to the leadership. But as you heard in the Synaxarium, that Herod wanted to get married to his brother's wife. What did John say? He said, no, it is not lawful for you to take your brother's wife. And every time he sees him, he says the same thing. John, come on, we're friends. We're friends. It's okay. You told me that before. He said, no, I will say it again today and tomorrow. And they said even after cutting his head started screaming, it is not lawful for you to take your brother's wife. what is this? Very truthful, very faithful person. The message he got, he just gave as is. Whether it's a scribe or Pharisees or kings, whether it's people at work or the president, it doesn't matter. What God gave me, I will honor and I will say as is. Is this difficult? But that made him the greatest amongst the prophets. He was able to prepare a generation for the Lord. The martyrs had the same thing. They were faithful people to keep the faith that they have received and to deliver this faith to us. Today we have an invitation. A desperate invitation from God. In a very difficult generation. An invitation for people to be faithful and truthful and to witness to Him. One person who is faithful to God can change a generation. I promise you, one person who is faithful can change a generation. John the Baptist, he prepared a generation for the Lord. A whole generation, all of them. He came, the forerunner, like before Christ, to do that. David, a single person, a young person who was faithful to God, he changed a generation. A whole generation. That all the kings were the children of David. Even Christ himself became the son of David. One person. What was David? He was so faithful to God. In Acts 13:36, it says a beautiful sentence about David. That David served his generation with the integrity of his heart. He was so faithful that he changed a generation by being faithful. You could notice that the Coptic Church is not the same in the beginning of the 20th century or the 18th or the 19th century. Something happened in the 20th century. A great revolution happened. Was it because of a bishop or a priest? If you dig deep in the history of the church, it's because of a layman. One person, if you dig deep, his name is Habib Gerges, who influenced many people. One of them is His Holiness Pope Shenouda and many others. One person. He changed a whole generation and a history of a church. One person who was so faithful to take what God has given him and what he has received from God and give to others. Can God use me and you to change a generation? Because as you can tell very obviously that the generation is going down. We can't say it's going up. Maybe there is more people coming to church, which is great. Maybe there is more participation. Wonderful. But how about the lives? How about the holy lives? How about the holy living? How about the faithful living? It needs some work. What does it mean for me and you to be faithful? Two things. Number one is to live the faith I have received with integrity. To live the faith that I have received with integrity. I didn't have time to put it on the screen, but I hope you remember this. Okay? Because one of the faithfulness is if God gives you something, you keep it. If God gives you a message, you keep it. And you, I'll tell you the second. So the first is to live the faith I have received with integrity. When I say faith, I don't mean the creed. And I don't mean the hymns of the church. But I mean the life. God has shown me a model of life and has shown every single one of you some wonderful people, faithful people for the Lord, and God has told me and you, live like them. Live like these people. These people could be parents, could be Sunday school teachers, could be priests, could be books, actually, and the resources that God has given us richly these days. You know why God has blessed us with so many books and the internet and so many resources these days? Because God is so amazing, so faithful. Because there isn't a lot of examples. What if I don't have an example? God has given me books and God has given me resources that I should know and what kind of life God wants me to live. God wants me to be faithful, to live this life with integrity, the life that I learned, the life that I have received. Honestly, one of the things that I consider myself very lucky with is the people that I got to know in my life and the resources that God has put in my way. I feel it's a great blessing from God. I feel like it's God is giving me something so precious that I almost feel I'm a thief, that I'm getting all these things if I don't live it and if I don't pass it to others. Because God has shown me. God has given me. When God gave me a second language, the first language is the Arabic. When God gave me a second language, God opened me a huge door of resources. All the books that are not in Arabic. I felt like I'm like thirsty and there is like river of water for me to receive from. Consider myself lucky and luckier than others that I have this and I have that. What is this? This God is giving me this not to brag about it and not to say that I have a lot of knowledge, but to show me kind of life that I need to live. Let me give you examples from the Old Testament. Abraham had two sons, Isaac and Ishmael. What's the difference between the two? One lived the life of Abraham and one didn't. One became a son and became one of the patriarchs because he lived the life of Abraham and one didn't. And both of them are the children of Abraham. That's why when the Jews came to Jesus and said, "We're the children of Abraham. We're the Copts. We're the people who receive the faith." Who cares if you don't live that? Who cares if you don't live that? Who cares if you have the best father or the best mother or the best church if I don't live that? Was it a privilege? Yeah, but it turned into this advantage. It turned into a judgment to him. Isaac had two children also. He had Jacob and he had Esau, two children. One lived exactly like his father and one didn't. God is not giving me Abraham and Isaac so I brag I'm the child of Abraham or Isaac. No, in order to live the life of Abraham and the life of Isaac, one of them valued so much his father and he valued his blessing. And he said, "It is amazing that I'm the children of Abraham, Isaac. I want to get this blessing even if I give all my life for this blessing." And other person, he said, "Who cares about this? Who cares about Abraham and Isaac? Who cares about these people? They're all dying. Let me get just a plate of atz, and that will be better than all this blessing." One valued his family, and he said, "God of my fathers appeared to me." It's a beautiful word. How did you know God? He's the God of my fathers. I lived the life of my fathers. I lived the life that's given me, that's shown in front of me. Many people lived with the saints, very closely to them, whether Pope Carlos, Tamavrini, or any of the contemporary saints. Did they live the same life, or did they just bragging that we were with them? Did we live their life or not? I hope that you value the lives that God has put in your way in order to learn from and in order to be like them and to live their faith. Not after their death, you say, we lived among these great people, but we didn't value them. That's no good. God is not asking us for too much. And God will never ask you or me for something that we've never seen. But He will tell me what you have received, try to get, and live faithfully. I'm not giving you much. I'm just telling you, what you have, keep, and keep faithfully. And believe it or not, that's the true martyrdom these days. These martyrs, they had to offer their lives because some people want to take their faith and want to make them compromise. But they didn't want to compromise. And the result is that they give up their lives. Are we willing to do the same? Or it's very easy for us to compromise. And that's the true martyrdom of these days. Honestly. God is not asking for people to be anything other than to live what they have seen in front of them, the lives that God put in their ways. Remember, Jesus said the same thing. He said, the people of Nineveh will come with this generation and condemn it. Why? Because they repented as Jonah's preaching. Jonah was nothing. He did very lousy job and very poor preaching. And people repented. And he said, I am here with you. I am the Word of God. I am the Son of God with you. Did the people do anything? Did they benefit from His presence? From His life? No, they didn't. So, what are the lives that God has put in your way to see and to live like them? Could be a teta who is faithful to her Agbaya prayer, or a giddu who is committed to fasting, or a servant who values the Word of God. Different things. I don't know what it is. But I'm sure God has put some people in your life in order to live like them. Or maybe God has put you in a church with a lot of preaching and maybe with a lot of examples that you may live and that you may learn. We don't want to brag about our church, even though it is very good and it's very nice to brag about it. But the real thing is to live this life. The power of fasting and discover it. The power of prayer. The power of the Word of God that we have learned. The power of the sacraments. The depth of the church and its teaching and the fathers of the church. Living what I have received is the half of faithfulness. Second half of faithfulness is what I have received, I pass on to the other generation or to the next generation as it is. Not with any kind of compromises. Because as you can always tell, that the grandfather is living a certain life, but the father isn't living as much. And of course the children and the grandchildren living less and less. Passing what I have learned exactly as I have received it. That's other half of faithfulness. 2 Timothy 2:2, very easy. 2 Timothy 2:2 says, and the things that you have heard from me, St. Paul is talking to his disciple Timothy, the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men, who will be able to teach others also. Commit the things that you have learned from me, the things that you have seen in me, to other people who will keep it and who will teach it as is. Not just passing it on, but as is. A lot of people, when they come from Egypt, they ask me for advice. And I tell them, one advice I'm going to give you. Just try to, the things that you learned, that you do, and you do it the same. Not more, not less. Same way you used to fast, fast. Same way you used to pray, pray. Same way you used to do things, do it. Because we see people just going down and down and down and mixing with culture and changing day after day. Passing it on as is. What do you think if you get a big inheritance? Big inheritance. Like you got like a $10 million from your father. And then you passed only a few thousand to your children. What do you consider this? Irresponsibility? You can call this someone who's not faithful, someone who's not honest, someone who's selfish, just wanted to live his life. But if you made this more and you invested this and you made this two times and you spend as much as you want and you left at least the same, if not more, to your children, then you consider yourself a faithful person. What if you inherit a lot from family and pass on nothing to your children? What if you inherit gold and pass on silver? Is this faithfulness? That's not faithfulness. That is the true martyrdom that God is asking us to do these days, is what I have heard, what I have seen, to deliver as is. And believe it or not, this is a huge thing in God's eyes. This is something amazing in God's eyes. People will not remember what we said, but they will remember our life and the way we live, especially those who learn to live as we live, those who learn to do things from us. So it is an invitation today. Is this something easy? It's not easy. It's not easy. And I'll be lying if I tell you this is something easy to do. It is not easy. But it is by the grace of God, who actually considered us faithful. St. Paul said that in the beginning of the reading today. He said, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me, because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, an insolent man, but I obtained the mercy from God. That's what we need. Tell him, God, help me. You know, the president, when he gives the oath, he said, I will do this, so God help me. God help me by your grace. That when I leave this world, that I leave a good legacy after me. A good life that I lived. Not just money, but good life. Good example for others. What is this good example? Nothing more than just what I've received and what I saw. Because God is so faithful that he put certain people in my life in order to influence my life, in order to help me be on his image. Practical step. With this new year, new Coptic year, it's a new season, school just started. I want you not to remember many things, but one thing. One thing that you were not faithful to. One thing that God has put in your face day in and day out. He showed you the example. He showed you. He gave you many messages about it. But I decided to ignore this. And I wasn't faithful in that. And I'm not passing this on to others. I don't want you to focus on many things. One thing. Lord, help me this year. Or this fast. Or this, there is no fast. I'm just saying, you know, in the beginning of every event. Help me to be faithful to one thing. So think about it. What is it that you need to be faithful to this year? May God give you a wonderful season and a wonderful year. And glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.